You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, June 18th. Citing looming infrastructure needs and rising costs, Astoria City leaders approved increased rates for water, sewage, and garbage. At a meeting this week, the Astoria City Council approved a 6% increase to city water and sewer rates. For the average residential user, this means an increase of around $10 a month on their bill. City Manager Scott Spence said the increases were necessary to meet collective bargaining agreements and higher costs for materials and supplies. He said the city also has around a $1 billion backlog of capital projects and deferred maintenance. City Councilor Andy Davis said the money the city will raise through the water and sewer increases won't come close to meeting those costs.
We're really trying to knock the edge off of this, but we're a long way from sort of being whole in terms of our budget.
Still, city leaders said it wasn't an easy decision. Solid waste collections and disposal rates are also going up. Astoria has franchise and license agreements with the company Recology for those services. The city council approved the company's request for a 2% increase for collections and a 7% increase for the Astoria transfer station, which serves the entire North Coast. Residential customers will see an increase to their curbside pickup bill. This will range from 70 cents to just over a dollar a month, depending on the size of the carts they have. On the morning of June 1st, a vehicle versus pedestrian crash left Patricia Harrison dead as she was walking at the intersection of 16th Street and Irving Avenue in Astoria. The man accused of killing Harrison, 50-year-old Michael Smith, was arraigned in Clatsop County Circuit Court, charged with manslaughter in the first degree, driving under the influence of intoxicants, and hit and run. Smith was apprehended by police on Jerome Avenue. He was passed out in his disabled vehicle after he had hit another driver as he fled the scene. His blood alcohol level was more than 4 times the legal limit. Smith was previously a law enforcement officer with the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office until he was put on leave and ultimately fired in 2019 for showing up to work intoxicated and exhibiting, quote, erratic and unpredictable behavior after the passing of his wife. Clatsop County Sheriff Matt Phillips said he had worked alongside Smith at that time and that the department had offered resources and support to him. Smith remains lodged in the Clatsop County Jail on bail of $500,000. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. The threat of deportations is sowing fear among farm workers who usually show up this time of year to pick cherries, and that's leading to a growing crisis for Washington cherry farmers. KUOW's Monica Nicholsberg reports.
It was supposed to be a phenomenal year for Washington cherries. Then, headlines and social media posts about ICE arrests started going viral. Here's Eric Zavala from Bluebird, a Wenatchee Growers Co-op.
We have a really, really good crop in Washington State, and good size, good quality. Everything is there, except labor.
Zavala stressed that there haven't been any ICE raids on local farms, but anxiety is keeping pickers home at the worst possible time. Cherries need to be picked within a few days of ripening. Zavala says if that doesn't happen,
we're probably going to lose 10, 20% of small growers, just because they have invested all they can into making that orchard work.
Monica Nicholsberg, KUOW News.
A mass timber company from Switzerland has chosen Portland for one of its North American facilities. As Kyra Buckley reports, the company manufactures homes and other buildings from engineered wood.
The Port of Portland has granted a lease to Zog Timber Solutions. The company makes wood products, sometimes called mass timber. It's the same material used for the new ceiling at the Portland Airport. Zog uses mass timber in factory-built homes and commercial buildings. Head of Trade and Economic Development at the port, Kimberly Branham, says Zog will create high-paying manufacturing jobs in Portland.
This action and their investment will lead to about 60 jobs in the next 5 or so years.
Zog officials say once their manufacturing facility is up and running, they'll be able to produce up to 700 homes a year. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
Transponder is a Eugene-based organization led by and for the transgender and gender-diverse community. For Pride Month, KLCC's Sajina Shrestha spoke to its leaders about creating and serving a community in the face of adversity.
And we have the behavioral health program.
I'm at the Lavender Network, Eugene's only LGBTQ+ service and community center. The former church is now a space used by multiple LGBTQ+ nonprofits and other organizations. Transponder's programs director, Ben Lilly, leads me into a room filled with clothes. In the closet, Lily turns my attention to an area called Sylvia's Closet. It's managed by Transponder and has a range of gender-affirming clothing and products.
It also has gender-affirming products that Transponder provides, including period underwear, pocket bras, breast forms, packers, tucking underwear, trans tape, wigs, partial breast forms.
Lily tells me their stock of supplies, like chest binders, have gone down over the year.
We used to have a lot more binders, like 400 binders, but this is kind of all we have left.
Oh, so what happened to all the 400 binders?
We gave them away for free to people.
Besides clothing, Transponder also provides other resources to people across Oregon who may have nowhere else to go. Executive Director Ems Avalos says there is a huge need for the services they provide. Some of the programs, like financial help for legal changes, are used by people all throughout Oregon.
And that's why it's hard to answer, like, which of our services are the most needed or the most popular. We just had that question asked too, and it's like they're all needed.
A CNN analysis found that so far, 27 states have passed bans on gender-affirming health care for trans children and teenagers. While Oregon lawmakers have introduced very few anti-LGBTQ laws, many parts of the state have little access to trans-inclusive services or gender-affirming care. Transponder leaders say the work they do is far from being done. In 2024, Transponder made 531 injection supply deliveries, gave away 674 gender-affirming products, and helped with 78 ID changes. Marley Heberling is the outreach director at Transponder.
Gender-affirming care can be a lot of different things, and sometimes that looks like a Pride pumpkin party. Sometimes it looks like legal name changes or a support group. There are so many ways that gender-affirming care happens, and gender-affirming care as a whole is the thing that keeps people going, and we need everybody to keep going.
Beyond gender-affirming care, Transponder also works to meet other community needs.
For Lane County,
Lily takes me to the kitchen where there are rows of paper bags with food lined up on the counter.
And community members kind of come in and shopping style, grab what they'd like. We also have these cabinets full of shelf-stable foods. And then on Tuesdays, we have a food drop-off program. So people can sign up on our website to get a shelf-stable bag of food dropped off at their door.
Many of the programs Transponder provides stem from a need voiced by their community. Avalos says the nonprofit works for and with the community.
We're not only trans-led, but we're also community-focused. So if a community asks us to change something in our programming, we're making sure that we're listening to them and change that.
Heberling says they can't do this work on their own and need cisgender people to step up for their friends and neighbors.
As the trans community, we need to see cis people, especially queer cis people, showing up every day, reminding people, like, hey, the work isn't done. It's not done until everybody is safe.
I'm Sajina Shrestha, reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.